Hello ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bible Club. Today we're doing 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. Enjoy.
Hi everybody, welcome to TCC Bible Club episode 3, or the third edition, not the third edition. Can you say the third edition?
Yeah, of course.
You can?
Yeah.
I feel like edition is supposed, in a sounding like...
book.
like a book, or like there's a series.
But you talk about the book, the 66 books of the Bible, so...
I think we have to have some ground rules here. We don't tarnish each other. There is no removing it, tarnish. There is no removing each other.
All right.
Anyway, good morning, how are you? Thank you for being here. At this time,
where's Nyandarua?
What?
I don't know. It just came, like, that question just passed by. You know, like, most of, like, those thoughts that just passed by and then I just picked it up. Where's Nyandarua?
Thinking of Nyandarua?
I don't know why. Where's Nyandarua?
Oh my God. Nyandarua County is a county in the former central province of Kenya. Its capital and largest town is Olkalau. Formerly, the capital was Nyahururu, which is now part of Laikipia County. Nyandarua County has a population of 596,268.
Wow, okay. All right. That's interesting. See? You all just learned something, courtesy of my...
Whatever, man.
Yo.
Whatever.
So, now that we know about Nyandarua, if you're listening from Nyandarua County... please let us know so that we can appreciate you.
So, welcome back. We are starting 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's good to have a recap of what happened the last two episodes. And because, mm-hmm. you know, you've taken up that baton, you can just please take us through what we have covered already.
We covered chapter 2 and 3 last time. And Paul is talking to the Corinthians, which so far we found out that was a carnal church as far as spirituality was concerned. Paul had delivered the gospel unto them and had taught them, but then left, of course, because Paul was a missionary, right? So, and then, you know, word came to him that these guys were carnal, that these guys had gone to, you know, being superficial in their faith. And chapter 2 starts by him saying, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," he's saying, you know, the previous encounter, "came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And so he's declaring the gospel and the true gospel, the you know, the meat of the gospel, the meat and the bone of the gospel, which is Christ crucified for our sins. And so he's reminding them of this because they had started departing from that and getting involved into the fleshly ways. That means they were like, sisi ni wa Apollos, sisi ni wa Peter, sisi ni wa this person, sisi ni wa Paul, you know. And chapter 3, it starts by saying, "And I, brethren," again, "and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So he's saying, dude, I'd really like to start getting into deep theological stuff with y'all, but again, I can't speak to you as, you know, spiritual people, because so far what you've been showing is that you're carnal. That is a mark of somebody that is falling away. When you start seeing people, you know, getting into carnality, they're into the things of the flesh. And the things of the flesh, sikukula, I'm not talking about that, like, you know, the works of the flesh, the person who is born again, the things that they indulge in and things like that. That was chapter 3. And he's talking about the foundations also. He's saying that if any man come unto you and lay any other foundation except that which we laid, which was Christ crucified according to the scriptures, then you need to be careful of these people, because nobody else should lay any other foundation. So he's talking about other foundations, and he says, Now, if any man build upon this foundation, you know, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, he says that these works shall be manifest when the time comes. The time that is coming, he's talking about the judgment of the saints, you know, when every single person will be given according to his works. Not his works of salvation, like he's working for his salvation, but the works that he did while he was saved. You know, the good works. That's what the Bible tells us to, you know, work out, you know, the good works. So that was the previous chapter. And he finishes, you know, the chapter by saying, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, or all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. So he's telling them, hizi vitu zote manze, hizi vitu zote zenye mnasema iti, oh, mimi ni wa Paul, mimi ni wa nani, mimi ni wa Peter, Cephas. All this belongs to Christ. And you also belong to Christ. You know, and Christ is God's. So, yeah, that was the previous chapter, two chapters. So, let's dig in.
Thanks, Jay. So, chapter 4. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yes, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another.
Paul is telling these guys, number one, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. So these guys were judging Paul, definitely. And that's the reason why they took, you know, these factions, right? But they did not actually really know Paul that much. Because Paul was like a missionary. He came, delivered the word, and went. And so because of maybe that small interaction that they had, they started judging Paul. And that is the reason why Paul is actually saying, whether I'm judged by you. And by judging, I don't mean like they were judging him the way we usually say, you know, you're judging me. It's that they took different positions because of the way they saw Paul. So he's telling them, whether I'm judged by you, it's actually not a big deal to me. So there are two judgments here. There's the judgment of men. And then he says, I also don't judge myself. Like, I also, like, don't put myself down. Because most of the times, if people don't judge you, you tend to judge yourself. You tend to put yourself in a key box, you know. Maybe you can't do this because, you know, maybe my family, you know, was raised like, raised me like this. We don't have maybe money to do this and this. My skills don't matter. People don't like me, things like that. So we usually put ourselves down. So Paul is actually saying, guess what? I also don't judge myself. So the judgment of men, the judgment of self, and then what concerns him more is the judgment of the Lord. Because he says here, in fact, he says, for I know nothing by myself, yet I'm not hereby justified. So he says, at time when you nimejiangalia vizuri, I don't see anything that I should put myself down upon. But either ways, I don't justify myself. Doesn't mean that I'm righteous, but I don't see anything that I should put myself down on, or I should judge myself upon. But again, I don't. But then says verse 5, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God, which is exactly the same thing that he said in chapter 3, verse 13, when he talks about the works that will be judged according to God's standard, because he says the hidden things of the heart. So he's saying what actually matters here is the judgment of God, because God searcheth out the deep things, even the deep things of the heart. you know, the intentions to which you are doing things, the intention to which you wanted this minister, you know, maybe to fulfill your selfish desires, you know, of whatever. So he's saying what actually matters is the judgment of the Lord, and look unto that even much more keenly, because that is more scrutinous than the judgment of men. And that is the reason why he's saying, guys, me, if you judge me or not, I actually don't care, because you're looking at the things of the flesh. Because again, Corinthians were carnal guys, you know, they'll look at the things of the flesh, the things that they want to honor. He's saying that, number one, that is the reason why I actually don't give myself to your judgment. Number two, I don't judge myself, because again, there's some things even in my heart, me mwenyewe, that I may not know. And even if I knew them, so far I don't see any ill intention that I have. But either ways, I'm still not justified. Because again, he says, judge nothing until the Lord comes. So you do whatever it is that you're doing with sincerity and with humility and leave it to God. And then when God comes, God is the one that will judge the intents. Yes, so I thought that was important. He also talked to Apollos about these things.
Yeah.
It's like, what when you walikuwa na wanajajiwa now, like same like me, myself, you, and maybe Joy, like we go somewhere and we do a talk, and everybody's like taking, you know, they say, hey, mimi ni wa Joy. Hey, kuna vile Joy anakuwa yani graceful. Mimi ni wa, JK, you know, JK has a nice voice, you know.
He's awesome.
He's yeah. Definitely. You're judging yourself. Yeah, JK is awesome.
I'm just saying what the masses will say, like.
Yeah, but yeah, that's true. You're cool, you're awesome, you know, you have a nice voice. And then some will say, maybe none will say. maybe a few.
Let's just say a few. Now you're the one who's judging yourself.
I know, right?
You'll have a bunch. Yeah. You'll have a tiny bunch.
Like, you know, JR, you know, because JR is this and this. So, at the end of the day, he's telling them, listen, I've also transferred these things to Apollos. In other words, we sat down and talked about these things so that none of you, down he says, that he might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. So, it's like they also went, maybe sat down, maybe had a session of prayer, and you know, so that they can also learn humility, so that when people see them, they can learn from them a sense of humility.
That no one of you shall be puffed up for one against another. Interesting.
Man.
7. For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou did not receive?
unto thee the good news was written.
Here's the thing, guys. Listen, we love KJV. It's a good book. Like, it's not a good book. It's a great version. It's a great version. I love it. It's a great version. But once in a while, just somewhere in there, you know, these thous and didists, they follow each other in a consequence. In a sequence and in a consequence.
For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now you are full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God he did reign, that we also might reign with you. So he's talking to them about, you know, their state of carnality into which they're now bragging about. He says, you know, y'all are reigning, you know, and not like reigning like they were kings, but in a state. You know, they were viewing themselves in that man, that stature, because I believe maybe of the freedom that they had received in Christ. And in fact, Paul says, I actually prefer that you'd reign. Yeah, like I'm with you guys. You know, I have no problem with all that. You know, and now you are rich in Christ Jesus. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostle last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. Something about the scriptures that people should put more emphasis on even when you're studying the scriptures. It's good to read it in context so that you can get it even more perfectly. So like this verse here is talking about being, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and unto angels and unto men. So it's talking to them,
yeah,
that the apostles themselves, they've been made into a spectacle. In Rome, during those times, this alludes to the state where these guys would go to war and conquer maybe a certain nation or a people or a country. And so when maybe the commander would come back to Rome, there will be like a procession. So the procession will get into the city, of course, with the commander, you know, in front, you know, carrying the lutes, you know, and everybody will be cheering, you know, and just be in a state of celebration because of the victory that had been achieved. And then in that procession, last, huko hivyo nyuma, will be the guys that had been conquered, that had been taken prisoners of war. And those are the ones that were considered now the spectacle. Those were the ones when you look nyuma kabisa. And the reason why that was so was so that they can be taken and be made a sport of. By sport of, I mean, they will have more like a game, a sport. And so in the middle of an arena, they'll open the lions' cages and things like that, and they'll toss these guys in there, and they'll be devoured by the lions and by the wild, and these guys will cheer up. The guys that had been taken as a loot, who are now the spectacle. So when he says here, for I think that God hath set forth as the apostle last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. So everybody else who is now celebrating, to them they have been set last. And actually you can see that on how the apostles died. How they died very, very gruesome deaths. Peter was crucified upside down. Some were skinned alive. Some were thrown into the, you know, so he's, because right before that he says, now you are full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I will do, and I would to God he did reign, that we also might reign with you. So they're the guys in the front. They're the guys, you know, shouting and, you know, celebrating the victory that they've received and all that. But now the apostles who have delivered the gospel unto them is the spectacle. They're the ones who are being reviled. They're the ones who are being judged. They're the ones who are being thrown into prison every single time because they're preaching every single place, everywhere, into these churches, to these churches, to these churches. So, yeah.
You celebrate being born again, but you don't like the preacher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I just don't like him. I feel like he drives such a big car.
I know he did that, but
you know, but he walks around like he owns the church, yes, which he does. Exactly, yeah. But he walks around like he owns it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So please. Then, go on.
We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and we are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Man, Paul was just going through stuff. I mean, if you look at the life of Paul, he's saying that, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Like, Paul did not have an exact dwelling place. He didn't have like a home you would go to after vacation or an intermission after narudi nyumbani. He did not have a place. Mostly he was in prison. He was in state penitentiary. That was his, you know, his dwelling place. And labor working with our own hands. This is something that you keep on repeating so much, bro, that I think is very important, that even as you're doing ministry, it's always good to have something on the side that you're doing that helps you to provide for your daily needs, so that you either don't burden people with your daily provision.
No, I still have people who still ask, but are you sure, bro? Like, for real, are you sure? Like, what if that is my source of income? Like, that music is my source of income, nanini. Well, it's not bad, but still, there is a very thin line that you are crossing then, because it will mean that as long as you're being compensated for something, you are subject to whoever is compensating you at the end of the day. That's the biggest problem I have. And I like how he says, he says about where he had no dwelling place, yes, he was buffeted and nini, of which most people right now are working with that. Most people are like, mtu tu anaacha life inampiga, ati ndio aseme yeye ni mnabii. Atembee tu, yani atembee juu, yeye ni mchungaji, yeye ni missionary. Life imempiga, anakubali tu life impige. You know,
anateseka kwa sababu ya injili.
Kwa sababu ya injili.
Nini, but tu ni but, sawa. Nini, but that is error, because 12 says, after amesema kitu hizo vitu zote anapitia, 12 anasema, and labor, working with their own hands.
Exactly. So he was
he was working, even though, you know, what he was working, like the kind of job he was doing was not providing for his daily needs and his ministry needs, but he was still working.
Because there are people who have argued with me saying that, you know, for us atuna hiyo tent making, for us that is our tent making in itself, you know. Sasa kidogo hapo umetoa service
kisiko
ubaya, but ume cancel out service. There is no service too good at that moment. You are doing it also for your own gain.
Yes.
You know, but worship.
So there's a very thin line between you compromising and you service.
Which is almost always you do it. Because I have friends who are employed by the church to do that thing. And even in the times where they are needed to do something else, they need to be maybe with family. Like, example, for Christmas or New Year, whatever it is, maybe a family, whatever. But they can't, because they are committed to church. That's not true. Committed in the terms that they are serving, committed in terms that are paid to be
there. They're being paid to be there. Yeah. So they have to be there.
Yes.
That's sad. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Man, it's like, if you read the life of Paul in this manner, if he does not put a sense of humility to you, then you have way bigger things to worry about than just humility. You have your salvation to worry about, because this is a person who is born again, filled with the Spirit of God, called to be an apostle, writes almost a third of the Bible, of the New Testament, and has the revelation of who God is in a way that so many people did not have. But he's going through all these things. You know, he's going through all these things, because right now we have this soft gospel that we present to the masses, that if they come to Christ, they will have all the good things in the world.
And it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's fun. It's, you know, let's keep it fun in Jesus. That is not the message. In fact, there's no place you get that message in the Bible. There's no place. If you do, you let me know. Maybe no. I might be wrong, but if you do, let me know.
You're not wrong, because I was just sharing with some friends the other day, and I was saying, you know, the whole selling point of the Bible and Christianity is not fun. The whole selling point is your eternity.
Yes.
It's the Christ, yes, on the cross, forgiven. Yes. Umesamehewa. He died for your filth. Nini hiyo yote. That's the selling point. But sasa, we are changing the selling point so that it fits our own desires to have more people come in, more young people come in. So we change it from, you know, come get saved because it is for your own good, for your eternity, but come get saved because you can do whatever you're doing out there, but in a righteous way.
In a righteous way.
Just come and dance in church. As long as you dance the same music, the same styles in church, it is righteous.
It is righteous.
No, just within the compound.
So the temple rather than the God of the temple.
I don't think there is anywhere that Christ said, be born again and you'll have fun. There's nothing like that.
I think fun comes as a vocation in the ways that the moment you get born again, if, for example, you're a comedian, of course you'll continue doing your comedy, but now you'll be under the authority of scriptures, of who God really is. But that is not the point. The comedy is not the point.
Yeah, the point is salvation. To an end at the end of,
that's
the day,
true, by
you
the way.
You can get born again and nothing. You don't continue doing anything you are doing.
Exactly.
Before. In fact, you go silent, like you are put under a rock somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. What do you do?
You're no longer in the limelight. Nivyo, umefunga your story.
Umefunga.
Like
mfunga. Fasting is not fun, by the way. That is one part of it. And Jesus said that, you know, right now they are not fasting when like these guys came to accuse the disciples that they don't fast. But say that, you know, I'm with them right now. So, but when I leave, they will have to fast. Then, I mean, they will fast. But it's not fun at all. It's like anybody who is having fun fasting is doing something wrong.
They are on a weight loss. those are on a weight loss challenge.
Exactly.
That will be fun because
you'll be enjoying it. But I believe you. It's a place of humility that, you know, a lot of things get shed off, and fun is not the main point of the gospel. It's not anywhere in the gospel, because the gospel is about your salvation. Anything else that comes after that is an added advantage. If you're a comedian, if you're doing skits, if you're a dancer, whatever it is, those are added advantages. Those are the things that now you are building upon that foundation which you laid. But the foundation needs to be sure. But now if you put it upside down, if you put the building upside down, it can't stand. If you put Christ Jesus on top of your fun, like, you know, come, let's have fun, you know, and, you know, we'll talk about Jesus. Like, okay, you have your priorities wrong. That foundation cannot be on top of the building. Mm. It just doesn't work, you know, because of science. Foundations are not in the air. They're actually on the ground. So being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and we are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. So he's also telling them, guys, I know you have instructors. I know, you know, people come to church once in a while. People come to church, people visit church, or, you know, you start following people online here and here and here. But it's telling them, don't forget that I'm your father in the Lord. I'm the one who begot you in Christ. Mimi ndo nilikuja nikahubiria na mkaokoka. In other words, the foundation from which you started again, don't also despise it. Even if maybe you might start to disagree with it, don't despise that foundation. He's saying, I begot you in Christ. I'm saying these things to your shame. I know you have many instructors, but... And that is also important, because it is good to like honor the people that have begotten you in the faith. If somebody preached to you and you can reach out to them, even though you might disagree with them once in a while, but that honor needs to stand there. Your fathers, and not only spiritual fathers, also biological fathers, or by extension, you know, people who adopted you, or step parents, and all that. It's important that you honor these people, because there's a blessing that comes from that, you know. So, for this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So, guys, I'm sending somebody so that he can remind you of all those things that I told you when I was there. And it's the same things I'm teaching to every single church. So they're not like double standards. There's no youth church. there's no youth church, and there's no elders church.
Mzito, kuna ubaya na youth church.
No, I have no problem with youth churches. I just think most of them have totally lost what the foundation is all about and what they're supposed to build upon it. They're building wood which will be burned. But he's saying, that which I taught you, Christ crucified according to the scriptures, because he said, I came unto you with nothing else except Christ Jesus crucified. That is the main point why I came, and that is what I taught you in the Lord, and that is how I begot you in Christ. So he's saying, I'm sending Timotheus to you guys. Timothy, of course, who is his son, who is like the person that he references mostly. So it's like this, they were in perfect harmony with Paul. So he says, I'm sending him so that he can remind you of those things which I taught you when I was there, which again is what? Christ crucified according to the scriptures, so that they can get out of this carnality. Things which I'm actually teaching in every church. So he's not changing the gospel because of location, geographical locations, because the human heart is the human heart in every geographical location, whether they be in an adult church or in young church or in youth church or in Sunday school, the human heart is still the same.
Mm.
It's not because you're in a different place now, you're a different person and all that. You're just the same person. So he's saying, the gospel that I brought unto you is the same one that I'm taking to every single church. So this double standard in Peter Nakoka na kwa church, yeah, youth church, you know, how wanapatiwa, you know, the mild gospel so that there can be more entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can have room for more entertainment rather than having full meat of the word of God and maybe entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go home and have entertainment. Why bring it to the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's wrong, but
you have 6 days to do that.
Yeah, you have anything. 6 days to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying when you come to the church, putting entertainment on the top of the list is the wrong gospel. It's building upon the wrong foundation, let alone building up the right foundation. It's building the wrong foundation. Because then when fun is not there, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see people get depressed when, you know, steamy kipotea church.
Mm.
Because they're like, number one, we won't have the soft instrumental at the back just playing when the preacher's preaching, you know. Or when people are getting into a place, you know, of whatever. So, and youth churches, if you start doing things like when you start telling them to fast, next week we are fasting, or in 2 days we are fasting, we are meeting for prayers, we are meeting for Bible study.
Mm.
If there's nothing else accompanying it, they just lose interest because of the foundation, because of that which you're building upon. So,
18.
Now, some are puffed up as though I will not come to you. So they started doing their own thing. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. So he's like saying, I'm coming to test now. Hey, nakuja. If the Lord allows me, nakuja. And I will not want to hear anything else, you know. Not words, not the people are puffed up, no, just as I will say, but the power, which again he spoke of before, which is Christ crucified according to the scriptures. That is the power. That is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel of Christ. So, sitakuja hapo hivyo niambiwe mastori mingi. Yeah, seven ways to whatever. Whatever it is I'm coming to test now and to see is the power which is in Christ Jesus. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? So saying, so this one now depends on you. If I should come, kama nimetulia in meekness, na tuonge hizi vitu pole pole, am I come with a rod? Hey, just come and fire everybody, you know, or with love, you know. So it depends with the state of the church. And that is why sometimes when a preacher comes into church, say for example, like you, like we've seen this, right? When with like Pastor Bobby, and he gets invited to these churches, the churches that is just meek and relaxed, and you know, he preaches vizuri, ametulia. There's some churches that just fires everybody,
yeah,
just fires everybody left, right, and center. Well, we've learned that like on a personal level, because it's true. You can't come into a church that is in disarray and everybody is in heresy, and you just sit there meekly and you just, you know, do your thing because you don't want to offend anybody. You can't do that. You know, you have to come with a rod, like Jesus did when he came to the temple. You know, there was a time he came to the temple. You remember that part when, you know, he comes to the temple and he sees the woman giving an offering. And at that point, nothing happens. But there's a time he comes and chases everybody out with a whip. And also there's a time that he just comes to pray and to open the scriptures and to, you know, to preach. So I believe it depends with the state of the house or the state of the church or the state of the brethren. If you come to me to have maybe a session of Bible study, or we start talking and you say I'm being heard maybe, or I'm just, you know, silent, it depends with the state of affairs. So to say mage, mwenye na shautigi, you know, he's not. So apo vundo sasa wewe ni wa Apollos, wewe ni Joelostin. No, Apollos was not like Jolastin. That was I was not trying to insinuate that. But those factions, shout, you know. Well, he can't keep quiet if everything's in disarray. So.
Chapter 5, chapter 8, and chapter 13 all have 13 verses.
Ah, I know you didn't know that. I didn't know that.
I'm contributing a lot
to the GDP of this Bible study.
Yeah, so chapter 5. Yes. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. It was not even common fornication. It was not one of those common fornications that happens, like the normal fornication, like the one that Jesus described. Yes,
it is reported commonly.
It is reported commonly, yes. And it is not such fornication as
in the church,
especially for it's not even namely the Gentiles, man. It was even to
and I think the reason why he even starts with this is because the previous verse he says, "What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" So he's saying, "Okay, so it depends with your state. So let's see your state."
Hey, watch out, how will I come?
Number one, it is reported
commonly,
my friends, that there's such fornication among you, such fornication as is not.
So much as named among the Gentiles.
Can you imagine, like, you know, the heart of Paul at this point, that he's brought the gospel to these guys. He's taught them his ways. The ways of Christ. He's instructed them in the Lord.
Mm.
He leaves. And this is the report that he's brought.
Mm-hmm.
He's come, he sanctified them in Christ. Them being born again, it means they've left the things of the world. But now they're introducing something else, which is even more evil than the things that were in the world.
Mm.
And that is just to show you, you know, the heart of a man.
Mm.
How easily it is persuaded towards evil.
Mm.
And just because you got born again does not mean that now, the work is done.
Yeah.
You know, so all of us can just, you know, turn in and just relax and chill. Like we were always told, you know, just now have fun in Christ and, you know, enjoy because Christ got you. You know, and he's like, wait, something's being reported here that is not even among the Gentiles. So I'm just like sympathizing with this guy.
Yeah.
Man, is you know, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you.
So he's still around. Aquaria, they know Aquaria, who it is, but
Aquaria,
he's still there.
Aquaria.
I mean, they're, we've seen stories of how many people like they've with scandals are online. Mega churches have scandals online of specific people, but they're still there, they're still serving, and they've not addressed it.
Yes.
Verse 3, for I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has done so this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and in my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This is one of those verses that most people like to not agree with. Like,
yes.
Mm-hmm. They Why? Feel like it's too harsh.
Yes.
Especially, it is too harsh, right? Especially when it happens in the church.
In the church,
like in the where they're serving or where they're fellowshipping at that point. You know, where it's just, it's very bland. Because it happened to us, you remember, when we were at Team Jesus a couple of years ago. You know, Pastor Bobby just decided one day, called a couple of individuals and told them, you're no longer welcome here.
Yes.
You know, because of...
Yes, you go deal with this.
The reason,
you go deal with this, and then you are welcome.
Come back.
If you don't, then...
Nobody ever came back, by the way.
Nobody came back, they which is offense. Interesting. Yeah,
they took offense much. That
so but again, like Paul said, how do I come to you?
Yeah.
How do I come? It depends with the state of... I was trying to like understand what Paul means, you know, deliver such unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And I was like, does this mean excommunication?
Mm-hmm.
Or there's something else going on here that you don't understand? Well, there's some people, you know, interpret that verse as talking of excommunication, but that is not so much of excommunication. And like what I found out was that it is very rarely that this wording is used in the Bible. It is in very rare occasions, by the way,
mm-hmm.
that this word is used in the Bible. I think like there are other three places that it is used. And what he's talking about here is, you remember when Ananias and Sapphira came in and they lied to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the apostle had the power to say, you know, to declare judgment at that point. Yeah. And they were struck dead at that point. The destruction of their flesh,
mm-hmm.
in a way. And the other places also where the apostle declared judgment upon people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were either struck by, you know, disease, or they died, or they started suffering some things. Like, you remember when he talks about the Lord's table and said, tell them that some of you, when partaking this, you know, they've had so many infirmities,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some of you have slept because of the state of their hearts at that point.
Mm.
And so I believe this was more of a gift that was given to the apostle, that they can be able to declare such judgment,
mm-hmm.
and in specific people. And that's why it says, even though I'm here, I've already declared judgment unto that person for the destruction of their flesh, either by disease, or, and the disease can even be worse. It can even lead to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can repent and be restored, but sometimes the sin that has been done is so grievous, for example, so that it can be an example unto the church,
mm.
because this is a very, very serious sin. If for every sin a man does that is outside of his flesh, you know, but sexual immorality is, you know, it is that grievous before God,
mm.
that an apostle, though he's not there, but he's been told about this, he's saying, so that means also the person who is bringing this report is a trusted source,
mm.
saying, I'm here, but I've already declared judgment of that person. Mm. That his body might be given to Satan to be destroyed. How does Satan destroy the body? In the book of Job, we see that very clearly. Mm. By disease, by boils, and you know, he just afflicts your soul, your body,
mm.
to the point where you can even die. Mm. And that is why God tells him, but his life do not touch.
Mm.
So the same thing also happens here. The body is given to Satan, but the spirit is saved.
Mm.
So this person at a fika place, I want to imanze. It's just a nisame tu, you know. But the body has to be dealt with,
mm.
so that the church may learn that they don't, you know, they don't go in that way. So I thought I should say that.
Verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You know, just what you said about mm-hmm. the church
excommunication and things like that. Yeah.
Purge therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feasts, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a traitor, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such one not to eat. I think this verse 11 is one that most people don't look at when they invite because they want endorsement from, you know, these political leaders. And they want them to changia them for their project, mm. their church project, their building project. Yes. And they invite them in the church. And guess they even give them an opportunity to speak politics however yes, way they yes. want.
And be in the front seats.
They have given water to drink and maybe a cup of tea
yes.
as the service is going on.
Tunapendaga nani? Hawa tunapenda sana. Hawa ndo Mungu amechagua. Hawa ndo Mungu amewaleta. And it also says that I'm not talking about the company of fornicators outside there. That is very clear. Yeah. Guys, just run away. I'm not talking about that company because, again, number one, it's very difficult not to be in a workplace in which you are working to either a workplace that people are not born again, right? And not keep company with those people. It's just not possible. In fact, he says the only way that is possible is that you get out of this world. So I'm not talking about that company. That may be even difficult for you to avoid. But I'm talking about your company, number one, in the church.
Yeah.
And the ones that you know, that these people are in this and this and this, and you keep company. Company is very different with talking to somebody. Company is, these are the people you hang out with. These are your friends.
Yeah, they're the ones you spend most of your time
with. He's saying, don't keep company with these people, because a little leaven leavens the whole bread. Very, very small leaven leavens the whole bread, because our watu wataku influence. Our watu wataku influence. And don't underestimate the power of darkness also. That is something that we also do, Christians, because we think we are so powerful and we are so holy, we'll convert every single person that comes our way. That is not your job. Your job is to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And that is not mostly done in public places. That is done in a secret place with you and God. That God gives you power and strength and grace to walk in this world. But at no point should you think that you got the power to transform every single person that comes your way, as if you're the Holy Spirit.
You know, that's taking too, it's not even taking too literally. It's just, you're trying to play a part that is not yours, because you're called to witness, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, you witness to people, but you do not force yourself on them.
Yes.
With this great power.
Yes, that you got.
That you got.
Yes.
Or because you are the one who is born again in a workplace, you can talk to every other person the way you want.
Yes.
Because you consider them as heathens.
Mm-hmm.
They don't belong here.
Yes, sir.
Or you belong there. Yeah, and then you start making witchcraft prayers of how you want to pray them out of the workplace.
Yes, yeah.
Because they're not so born again. You pray them.
Kwa kazi ya wenyewe, unataka
kwa kazi ya mtu.
Alafu nani atakulipa? Alafu nani atakulipa?
You know.
Yeah.
But I think that's another thing we'll talk about maybe somewhere in the future,
about those
prayers that we make, you know, possessing prayers.
I possess this land.
Possess this car. Na ni gari ya mtu. Ametoa pesa yake. His own sweat and
God
blood.
God is not a genie. He's not a magician.
That he grants wishes.
Yes, yeah, like, you know, now you pray somebody's car and now he just shows
it's
up.
Yours.
God is not... Anyways.
Let's wrap up the chapter.
But this chapter is one of those chapters that sheds light on how God views, you know, sexual immorality and fornication. And he's saying, dude, just... And I believe that is the reason why even in the Old Testament, and this example is used when Joseph is tempted by Potiphar's wife, and the Bible said that he ran away, you know, he literally ran away. You know, he didn't sit there and start meditating on the goodness of the Lord in his life so that he can conquer this, or started invoking the power of the Holy Spirit. Or the power of the God of his fathers. He didn't do none of that. He literally ran away, because at some point, you need to differentiate between where your power and authority stops and your human flesh can take over. Because again, and I believe the reason why God tells us to flee from sexual immorality is because, just like he says, every single sin that a man doth is... is like inward, is like internal. But sexual immorality is the only thing that you do with your body, which again, at this point, is not yet redeemed.
Yes, yeah.
So he's saying, because of that, guys, run away. Because this flesh right now is not born again. Your hands are not born again. Your eyes are not born again. You can make a covenant with it, but it's not born again. They say that, like Job said, you know, I've made a covenant with my eyes, I shall not, you know, look lustfully upon a woman. That's a covenant, but that does not mean that the eye is born again. That means he's made a covenant that there are things that he will not do. You know, there are some movies that Job won't watch. You know, or there are some programs that he just won't get himself into because he knows he's made a covenant so that he does not go that way. So it is very important that Paul says that don't keep company with these guys. It's not because you are, I'm telling you to be, you know, to show that you are holy. This is for your own good, guys. Like, don't keep these companies because a small leaven leavens the whole bread.
Yeah.
This is not an issue that you can just walk in and conquer. You know, you can just wake up one day and, you know, say, you know, I'll keep on seeing this girl and, you know, nothing will happen. It will happen. You just have to cut that company. If that is what is leading you to sin, just cut it. Just say, you know what, I can't see you at least for the next maybe 3 years. Or I don't know. I mean, it's like, it depends on how strongly this has taken hold of your life in such a way that what you do to counter it will help you get out of it.
Yeah.
I'm saying, don't keep company with these guys because a small leaven leavens the whole bread. Don't think you can just hang out there and do your thing and be the preacher or be the voice of reason. Dude, before you know it, you'll be part of it. And now you'll have more things to deal with than repentance. Now you'll have to deal with addictions now. Like again, the nini that you did the other time, you know, pornography, a gateway to sexual perversion. So it is important that we heed the words of the scriptures.
Verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. I love what he does here because he addresses still the issue of judging that he talked about in the beginning of this whole book about, you know, judging and remember saying that the judging that he's talking about in the beginning is in the ones that you judge in hypocrisy. You know, you know you have like a you have three guns in your house, but you judge somebody who carried a bullet to church. So, or they are walking around with a bullet on their necklace. They have a bullet hung there, but you have like three guns in your house that are hidden because you want to shoot somebody. You know. But here he talks about judging the ones that are within. So yes, if you're a believer, tukona hiyo nguvu.
Wasema now, this is what, like I'm mesema, this guy I've already judged. Hiyo nimeshamalizana na hiyo story. And that's why I believe that first part is not just talking about excommunication, because he talks about excommunication here.
Yes.
He says, I've already judged this person. And then he talks about, you know, sexual immorality and what should be done and what should not be done. And then he says, in fact, put away that person. So he's saying, I've already done judgment. So what is left of you is, this person should not be even among you, brethren. Number one, I've already spoken in judgment. So Satan is going to deal with him.
He has given you the reasons why he has done that.
Exactly why he has done that. So I think that is a righteous judgment.
By doing that, he has given you a blueprint of what to look for when something like that happens again. Even before I do it, you do it now, by your own. Naona sasa ni nyewe nyewe mjicounter check. So yeah, that has been 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5.
Yeah,
interesting stuff in it.
Yeah,
it is.
Hey,
it is. So thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jer.
Last time the audio was not that good at first because it was my fault. I just thought I should say that.
Okay. You're putting yourself out there for the brethren.
That I don't. That I'm not judged among you. By you.
Yeah, but I believe it was still audible to some extent.
Yeah, to some extent. Yeah.
So, but we apologize for the same. But this time, as you've heard, it's pretty neat. Why? Because I was in charge. How do I do this?
Yeah, it has been a blessing. If you guys have any feedbacks, you can send them to JK.